So this podcast is just to go over cleft lip and palate surgery in general. And you may be listening to it because you possibly have just been given a diagnosis that your baby has a cleft. They can see this oftentimes on ultrasound. And although they can't be sure of the exact extent of the cleft, usually they're pretty good in knowing if there's one there or not. You may also have just given birth to a baby with a cleft and you're gathering information. Maybe you're thinking about adopting a child that might have a cleft or just trying to learn more because you have an acquaintance, friend, or family member who's going through this and you want to be more informed. So, looking at the initial etiology of clefts, it's important to know that we basically all have clefts when we're being formed. And even though this is sort of a simplistic view, it's kind of like enough glue didn't reach the area that needed to seal up. And this happens really early in a pregnancy, typically around 7 or 8 weeks of life. You should definitely absolve yourself of all guilt if you are a parent, because there's nothing you did other than potentially donating a little genetic material that might have influenced the formation of a cleft to make this happen. So please just for don't blame yourself for one little instant. There's nothing you could have done to make this happen. So I'm going to start by talking about the lip. So lips can either be described as complete or incomplete. So if the gap in the lip travels all the way up through the nostril, this is a complete cleft lip. And this may occur on the right, on the left, or bilaterally. If there's some tissue together right at the top of the lip or right under the nostril, and if the gum line is intact, this may be described as an incomplete cleft lip. The cleft of the palate starts right behind the front teeth. So the palate forms almost like a P sign or a Mercedes-Benz sign, where there can be an anterior portion that's either on the right or the left or bilaterally. And then starting right behind the teeth, there's just one cleft down the center. The first challenge when you have a baby with a cleft is feeding. And there are some specially designed nipples and bottles that help aid in feeding. Because of the hole in the roof of the mouth, if a palate is involved, it's difficult for your baby to create a lot of suction. So there are specially designed nipples. The most common one used is called a Habermann. That's Habermann. And this allows you to kind of squeeze the tip of the nipple so that you can help inject a little bit of milk so they don't have to suck as hard. Feeding a baby with a cleft palate involves a lot of burping and a lot of patience. And there are usually people through the cleft palate team or through the hospital after you give birth that can help you get the hang of this. Your pediatrician will be checking your baby to see if there are any other medical issues that might be present, just like they would with any other child who's born and new to their practice. Some babies with clefts may benefit from something called nasoalveolar molding, and this is often abbreviated as NAM or NAM. It does take special training for a pediatric dentist to perform NAM. And what they're doing is creating a series of specialized orthodontic appliances like retainers with little probes that come off of them and using tape across the skin to help reposition the two sides of the cleft to get them closer and also change the shape of the nose. This can be very labor intensive, and it's not right for every cleft pattern, and it's definitely not right for every family. But if you have the opportunity to have NAM, it can definitely improve the overall final result. At the time of my taping of this, we have two pediatric dentists in Denver that I'm referring to. One is Dr. Meredith Harris, and she was a pediatrician before she became a pediatric dentist. And the other is Dr. Naomi Lane, who was trained with NAM during her residency. It does involve frequent office visits, and I would recommend that you consult with one of these doctors before your baby's born to see if this is something you want to pursue and if they can accommodate you in their practice. Surgery on the cleft lip is usually the first surgery that's performed, and this would be any time, typically between 3 months of age and 5 months of age in general. There are some surgeons that like to perform this surgery immediately after birth, but I like to do the more traditional route of approximately 3 months of life. Now, if this is a complete cleft lip, and especially if it's a bilateral cleft lip, I will very likely perform a surgery called a cleft lip adhesion at the first surgery at 3 months of life. At this surgery, all I'm trying to do is bring the two sides of the lip together and do some initial work on the nose. I might also use a nasal splint to help shape the nostril on the cleft side that's called a Koken, and that's spelled capital K-O-K-E-N. And this may stay in place anywhere from a couple of weeks to a couple of months after surgery. The reason why I like to perform a cleft lip adhesion is this works to decrease tension for our final lip repair, which would likely be performed about 6 months later. When you perform a surgery under less tension, the overall result will probably be improved with a more pleasing scar and better symmetry after this procedure. Timing of a cleft palate repair basically allows them to grow as much as possible, but close their palate before they've developed speech. So most of the trends in surgery are to do this anywhere from about 6 months to 18 months, with the majority of patients having surgery at 9 months to a year. I also take this opportunity to do the second stage lip repair. If your child had an adhesion as their first surgery, this is the time that we're going to do a second surgery that is going to make the lip look more anatomically correct. And this is a scar that's going to stay there. So this is an important one to take care of afterwards. By doing the two procedures together, it kind of saves your kid one extra operation during their early life. And I've been really happy with combining these surgeries. So in general, again, to recap, we do a cleft lip adhesion for complete clefts at about 3 months of age. You may have a formal final lip repair if it's an incomplete cleft lip at this 3 month time as well. Approximately 6 months later, at 9 months of age, we're going to do the second stage of the lip repair at the same time we repair the palate, and PE tubes are usually placed at the same time. The next time your child might be having surgery is around school age, or anywhere from about age 4 to 5 to about age 10. This might be a lip revision, a tip rhinoplasty, or possibly a surgery to help improve their speech. You'll also look forward to a couple sets of braces, as orthodontics is really important for kids who are born with a cleft. The first stage of orthodontics is done to help prepare the positioning of the teeth for a bone graft. And that's where bone is placed in the gum line. And that's the time that this is closed. Usually the gum line is not closed at the time of a cleft palate repair. The bone allows for an adult tooth to be able to come in and stabilize there. Or if your child doesn't have an adult tooth that's going to come in the cleft space, a dental implant can be placed in this bone. The bone may be taken from the hip, or there's also a special protein called bone morphogenic protein that some doctors are using to help stimulate the growth of bone in this area. Now, orthognathic surgery, or surgery on the jaws, which repositions the upper and lower jaw for a more pleasing profile, won't be performed until the bones in the face are skeletally mature. This happens a little bit earlier for girls than it does for boys. So maybe about 14 to 16 would be the earliest for a girl, where boys probably could be anywhere from about 16 to 20 years of age. We do like to perform a formal final rhinoplasty on patients after their orthognathic surgery, if that's going to be necessary. And at that time, we help straighten deviated septums and open the airway by treating the turbinates. It's also a chance to perform a more cosmetic operation on the nose to make it aesthetically more pleasing and appropriate and proportionate to the face, and also address the asymmetry of the tip, which is typically present in patients with clefts. All in all, it's a lot of surgeries, and to help keep things organized, we recommend that you be part of a multidisciplinary cleft palate team. So what's involved with going to a cleft palate team is that you are seen by essentially most of the specialists when you go in for that visit. And at the end of the visit, we all sit down together and discuss the next stages of your child's care. This can be really helpful if your primary care physician or some of your primary physicians like dentists, orthodontists, and ENTs are not part of our cleft team, because it allows for us to communicate with them in what we think might be the most feasible next step, and to give them some guidance if they don't have as much experience in treating patients with clefts. So it may be that you're going to a cleft team yearly during certain parts of your child's life, or it may be every 2 to 3 years, or sometimes even longer, before we're ready to have them seen again. But studies have consistently shown that kids that get their care associated with cleft teams end up having better outcomes. So we'd highly recommend that you be involved in one of the teams, whether it's at the one that I'm on, which is affiliated with Rose Hospital and Rocky Mountain Children's Hospital, or through the university and Children's Hospital at the Aurora campus. Well, if you stayed awake through that whole talk, I apologize for changing halfway through the sound of my voice. I realized I had the wrong button pushed at the beginning, but I was just kind of not wanting to start over again, so sorry about that. So when you come into your appointment, if you've had a chance to listen to this, I think that that's great. After our appointment, I think it's important maybe listen to it again. It's always going to be here as a reference for you.